Thanks very much, Roland, and good afternoon, everyone. To begin with the strengths, I think the point has been made that the significant new opportunities for civil society work through the UPR. But it's not only civil society, it's also with NHRIs and independent institutions. So the UPR process and its implementation creates a space for collaboration. And I see in different countries that governments are giving more credibility to civil society organizations, which was lacking before, because the UPR recognizes civil society as a genuine stakeholder in the process. Also, positively, the UPR brings a human rights perspective in countries to development and other issues, and forces governments to think of the rights-based approach, which has been lacking in many countries. And I think that, but the weaknesses are many, and I would, in fact, on balance, take the opposite position from Bob Last. I think the weaknesses are more than the strengths. But that is not to take a overly negative view, but to say that a lot more work remains to be done. So, for example, one of the weaknesses is that there's just not enough penetration into the line ministries at national levels. Many people are still not aware of the UPR, and as the ambassador of Costa Rica said, the lack of an overall or an overarching human rights infrastructure, prohibits this kind of penetration. Also, the participation of civil society so far in the consultation process leading up to the state report is not satisfactory by any means. We don't have a comprehensive, inclusive participation. There isn't, the consultation processes are not in different parts of the country. They're only in the capitals. And there is very often a very selective participation of many times NGOs that governments only who agree with government positions and not ones that are critical. Also, there isn't enough of a comprehensive integration of the UPR with other human rights processes, with the treaty bodies, with the rapporteurs. It's very arbitrary. It's very piecemeal. Some recommendations are looked at. Some concluding observations are looked at. But it should be more comprehensive and should not be left to states to say, well, we are looking at these and not looking at others. Also, there's a as the butterfly effect mentions, the lack of resources for civil society to sustain civil society work, coalitions, and so on is very much lacking. So you have a voluntary fund for states, but there's no such fund for civil society. And I think that would be a major contribution if in the third cycle we can have such a voluntary fund. And I would also say that statistics can be deceiving. Sometimes we say, 40% recommendations were implemented, but you can have a situation in a country where there are every cycle more and more recommendations. There may even be some implementation, but the overall human rights situation does not change. In fact, it could regress. So what do we do in that context, I think, is a major challenge for the third cycle. Thank you.